Listening to The Naked Scientist with Chris and Helen. Now let's go back to Ben and Dave to find out how a spinning tennis ball around your head might relate to particle physics.
Welcome back to today's Kitchen Science, where we're doing an LHC-themed experiment involving spinning a ball around Dave's head. Now, Dave, how have you got this set up?
What we've done is taken a tennis ball, attached it to one end of a piece of string, put the piece of string through a tube and attached the other end to a kilo or so of weight. And then I'm going to spin this ball around my head.
OK, now this is the bit that sounds a bit dangerous, but let's give it a go. Let's start spinning. So, Dave, I'm going to step back so you can spin it.
OK, so I've got the tube in one hand, and I'm going to spin the ball around my head. I'm going to let go of the weight.
OK, well, I'm keeping my distance from Dave, because he is getting that ball spinning quite quickly. But the weight is actually holding up. The weight of the ball hasn't changed, but because it's spinning, it seems to be holding up the weight.
Now I'm going to speed up the ball.
OK, he's spinning it even quicker now. It's going in a much bigger circle, and I'm backing off. That's going quite a long way around Dave's head now, but it's pulled the bag up even further. So obviously, the bigger the circle, the higher the bag gets pulled up. Dave, can you stop so that I can actually come in and chat to you?
OK, I'll just drop it down to the ground. Gently.
OK, that's good. Oh, right, now I can safely come back and talk to you. Now, that was quite an obvious thing to see. When you were spinning the ball faster, it went in a much bigger circle and lifted the weight up, almost to right by your hand. What's going on here?
Well, Isaac Newton worked out a few hundred years ago that all objects want to carry on going in a straight line. And unless you apply a force to them, they will carry on going in that straight line. Now, if you want to make something go in a circle, it obviously isn't a straight line, so you've got to apply a force to it. So this tennis ball, if we weren't pulling it with the string, would carry on a straight line and fly off into another garden.
Exactly as you'd expect if the string broke.
Yeah.
OK, so we're using the string to apply a force onto the ball, and that keeps it moving in a circle rather than just flying off in a straight line. But what's the weight got to do with it?
Well, it's not my hand which is applying the force to the string. It's actually the weight, because the tube is very slippery, so the string can move easily through it. So the weight is the only thing which is applying tension to the string and pulling the ball inwards and making it go in a circle.
So why is it that the weight moved up and down depending on how fast you were spinning the ball?
Well, you need more force to make something go round a tight corner if you're going fast and if you're going slow. You might have noticed this if you try and run round a corner on gravel. You can walk round the corner perfectly fine, but if you try and run round the same corner, there's not enough grip between your feet and the ground, and you fall over. It can be a very painful lesson to learn. Well, exactly the same thing's true of the ball. If you speed up the ball, then the ball's going to require more force than the weight can apply to make it go around that corner, so it will end up going in a bigger circle, lifting up the weight. And once it gets to a bigger circle, then it's going through a less tighter corner, so the weight can pull it in a circle, even though it's going faster in a straight line.
So the circle gets bigger because this requires less force to go in a big circle quickly than it does to go in a smaller circle at the same speed because of the fact that it takes more force to turn a tight corner.
Yeah, that's exactly right. And that's the reason why the LHC is so huge, because if you tried to make these protons go that speed around a small ring, maybe the size of this garden, the forces you'd have to apply using magnetic fields would have to be absolutely immense. And we just can't make magnets that strong.
So they use magnetic fields, I'm guessing, in the place of our bit of string.
Yes, if you have a moving charged particle like the protons going around the LHC, or in fact electrons in an old-fashioned television. So then the magnetic field causes the particles to go around a corner. So in the LHC, the protons will go around the ring. And in an old-fashioned TV, there's a beam of electrons which paint the picture, and the beam is steered by applying different magnetic fields to it by a couple of coils at the back.
And this is also why you can actually really mess up an old cathode ray tube TV just by putting a magnet near the screen. We did this in a Kitchen Science a while ago.
Yeah, that's right. If you add extra magnetic fields to it, then the electrons end up going where they shouldn't have done, and it distorts the picture.
So even though at the LHC they're going around a 27-kilometre circle, the magnetic fields they're using must still be huge in order to get close to the speed of light.
Yeah, they're tens of thousands times stronger than the Earth's magnetic field, so incredibly strong magnets. And the only way you can get a magnetic field that strong is by using superconductors, which have to be cooled down to about minus 271 degrees centigrade.
So phenomenally low temperatures and phenomenally huge forces that they're having to use. Let's just hope that the LHC does indeed find some fantastic new physics. That's all for Kitchen Science this week. We'll be back very soon.
Thanks, guys. And you can read all about this and other kitchen science experiments on our website at thenakedscientist.com/kitchen science. And that includes videos of last week's incredible chocolate teapot, which apparently Ben and Dave have still not managed to eat.
Thank you, Helen.